Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
The Cineteca di Milano, in collaboration with Red Shoes Cultural Association, is presenting Open Visions, three special lessons on experimental cinema and interactive storytelling. The course is available in English via the Cineteca di Milano streaming platform, and it is given by researcher and filmmaker Ludovica Fales. Here to tell us all about it is Ludovica herself, joining us on the Big Fred Tuesday right now. So Ludovica, welcome to the show.
I'm very happy to be here. So thank you so much for having me here.
What can you tell me about Open Visions? What's it all about? You know, just a few introductory words.
So this is a course that came out from a new collaboration between Red Shoes Cultural Association, which promotes the culture and history of British cinema in Italy, and Cineteca di Milano. And we're very proud about this new collaboration. And it is about three special lessons on experimental and interactive storytelling. And it's hosted by the streaming platform of Cineteca di Milano. It is available in English at the cost of €3. And it's exploring the relationship between interactive and experimental storytelling, which is something I've been exploring in my research for the last 5 years. So I'm very excited to be able to offer it to a wider audience through this course.
Very simple follow-up question to that. When we talk about experimental films and interactive projects, what does that exactly mean? And perhaps you could give us some examples to help us understand what that means too.
So this course focuses on the evolution of the concepts of time, space, authorship, and spectatorship in the history of non-linear cinema. And it goes from early avant-garde cinema, surrealist Dadaist films, and American avant-garde films such as Maya Deren's film or Stan Brakhage's film, to the history of video and installation art, Bill Viola and his colleagues, and also all the way to the digital turn to actually explore current new media projects that involve the use of VR, AR technology. And what it's really about is the relationship between non-linear cinema and interactive technologies that effectively develop the same kind of discourse, trying to counteract the sort of logocentric focus that mainstream cinema has been developed over the years. And this is a strand that has been living and developing itself all the way since the beginning of the history of cinema. And it's about exploring a new relationship between power and language, which is really about understanding the world in a different way.
How is the course structured, speaking of structure?
So the three sessions, actually, they are organized around these four pillars. They're about the sequencing of time and space, which takes place in all of these films and then projects, if we talk about interactive projects. And we also really want to explore how from the unique author, we evolve towards a user that has full control over the journey on the audiovisual platform. So it's about the evolution of a more participatory role of the spectator that goes from being passive spectator sitting in a screening room to becoming an active user with full agency over the audiovisual world. And this is an exceptionally important change that it took place over the course of the whole of experimental cinema, but actually became possible to be realized fully only when new media made it available to the user to the full control over the platform and the story. So if experimental films want to somehow challenge the concept of story altogether and approach and dive into a world, an audiovisual world, in a more experiential way, by giving the user the full control over the experience, this becomes a fully subjective journey, and it opens up multiple possibilities for infinite combinations of sound and vision.
This is more out of curiosity, personal curiosity, but I would love to know what, because I understand the program goes up to modern days, but what are the earliest films that are dealt with and talked about in the course?
So, as we know, Surrealist and Dadaist films, for example, since their invention, have had a shifting relationship with various non-mainstream groupings. And what we do in this course is we discuss motivation, style, technique, and significance of these movements through some case studies. And our case studies are, for example, Le Retour à la Raison by Man Ray, 1923. We also watch and discuss Anemic Cinema by Marcel Duchamp, 1926. Un Chien Andalou by Louis Buñuel, 1929, the most important, the masterpiece of surrealist cinema. We also move on to American Avant-Garde by analyzing Meshes of the Afternoon by Maria Deren, 1943. And we then move on to abstract films, structuralist films, to then touch upon video and installation art. So, for example, Cut's Cradle by Sam Brakhage, 1959, or Berlin Horse by Malcolm LeGrais, 1970, a very famous London co-op project. La Région Centrale by Michael Snow, which is the first film made with a mechanical arm and the first film to actually work on the vertical horizontal axis, sort of opening the way to what VR will do in 60 years' time from that moment. We then move on to The Reflecting Pool Cycle by Bill Viola, 1979, and Tacita Dean's installation made in 2011 called Film, which is this huge totem that was installed in the Turbine Hall in London and was celebrating celluloid in the year in which, during which celluloid was no longer being produced. And then we move on to the Cremaster cycle, Matthew Barney's all-encompassing art cycle. And then on the third lesson, we actually analyze cross and transmedia projects that are now embracing a stronger focus on non-linearity and redefining the relationship between story and audience in a way that is even more radical than what had been done before. And we, for example, will analyze projects such as Gaza Sderot, a very interesting project on the Gaza Strip, analyzing two towns on the two sides of the border, and showing how life takes place and develops itself along the border in such a complicated, on the very heated border. And we also analyze projects such as 18 Days in Egypt, which is an archive-based project where users were able to upload their own videos, the videos that they had themselves shot and produced during the Egyptian Revolution, and that they wanted to rescue and collect and preserve in order not to keep them on their hard drives, because they could be used as proofs in case police would actually go and search their homes. So it was also an activist project that was trying to somehow create a collective archive, but also unburdening individuals. Projects such as Prison Valley or Alma, Tale of Violence, a very interesting, VR project that is sort of organized. Sorry, and it's very interesting interactive documentary project that is organized on two levels, two layers: the layer of the interview and the layer of the visual. And the user can choose at any point to go between the two, and VR conversations between self and self as Sigmund Freud, a very, very interesting, ironic project based on the idea of conversation between oneself and Sigmund Freud. So these are the kind of examples that we chose to underline this evolving relationship between authorship and spectatorship.
How interactive is the course itself?
So in this case, this is a collaboration between us and Cineteca di Milano, and it's actually a course that is a sort of appetizer for a bigger course that we will launch in September 2020, which will be fully interactive and which will be based on the development of new media project during the course. So we will have a minimum of 12 students who will be able to bring on their own project, and by sort of analyzing the history of the relationship between experimental and interactive films, they will actually develop at the same time a fully original project. So that course will be fully interactive. We decided to launch it online. As we all know, we live in times that are exceptionally, that are changing, and where we are all unsure about what will happen and what kind of offline interaction we will be able to have in September. So this is an online course, but that is also a plus for us because it will allow participants from all over the world to join and join forces and form groups and teams that will then bring the project to the next level. We're in conversation with several institutions, including VR Biennale in Venice and Premio Solinas, and we are joining forces with other existing educational platforms to allow students to bring the projects forward beyond this course. And as far as this course is concerned, so the streaming platform allows users to sign in and watch the lessons, the lectures as many times as they want, and they will be able to write me if they have questions, and I will be available to them. But it's not conceived to be interactive because we would like people to watch it in their own time and to actually develop questions and curiosities that they will maybe explore at a later date if they want to join the main course.
Oh, right. So these three lessons are just a taste for what's to come.
Yes, that's exactly what it is about.
That's very interesting. We'll have to keep up with further developments then. You know, you mentioned the times that we're living in, and I wanted to kind of ask you this question as well. Do you think that this is a good time to sort of experiment with newer technologies, so to speak?
So I found myself teaching online a lot in the last semester. I'm a filmmaker, I'm a researcher, I'm a lecturer, and I really consider my job as being sort of built around these three trajectories, and including film programming as well. And I feel that new technologies are actually expanding our ability to connect and are giving us new possibilities to discuss and communicate. There are obviously also downfalls to this. We all know that teaching online is very difficult. It requires a lot of energies on both ends. But I feel that when it comes to talking about the universe of the web, actually exploring it online is fully consistent and it's fully coherent, and it allows participants to have their own thinking time and their own sort of space to develop ideas in a completely different way. Somehow, all of the courses I've been teaching this year were very exciting because it felt like it was an exceptional time to connect. And obviously, new media allow this sort of boundaries of time and space to be overcome, because there is a possibility of connecting with people from all over the world. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what students and participants will develop, what kind of projects they will want to develop after the pandemic, what kind of need for social change people will feel they can actually explore through new media. This is an ever-changing landscape, and I feel we are still in a very experimental phase. There is no mainstream that we reach. There is no sort of there are no rules that are set. There is no grammar that is shared and considered the sort of unique for everyone. So I feel that we will see very interesting projects in the months to come. People are really in need of connection. So all tools are welcome.
And you mentioned that you're a filmmaker, and I'm happy you did that, because maybe as a conclusive question, I would love to ask you about Kitchen Sink Collective, the Kitchen Sink Collective. I found out that you work with them, and I'm intrigued by it. What would you be able to tell me about the Kitchen Sink Collective?
So the Kitchen Sink Collective is a creature that came out of the National Film and Television School. It's made out of 8 filmmakers from all over the world who studied together at film school. We were all coming from different countries. We were all based in London, and we were all very diverse in style, in sort of objectives. But we felt that by sticking together after film school, we would be able to get more chances in the industry, and we would be able to have and nourish a community of people around us that would somehow support our idea of documentary. And this is exactly what happened, because we as a collective won Christie's Projector as an award during our film school time, and we founded a mobile cinema by sharing the projector and sharing a studio. We decided that we were going to give cinema a home, but we also brought films to different places, to festivals. We curated film programs, always with an eye to experimentation, and also really interested in participative projects with different voices joining forces around the idea of documentary. We are all very critical of unique, essentialist, universalist definition of reality and a universal definition of what documentary is. We strive for an expansive notion of documentary, which includes experimentation and different tools. And we also truly believe in the possibilities of going beyond individuals when it comes to making creative projects. So I think this is our philosophy, but we all continue to be artists, individual artists, and make our own films and exist as individuals as well as a group.
Well, Ludovica, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you so much. And I hope to see you all soon if you join the main course, which is called Other Stories. So, just keep in touch with us. Bye.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.